Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I'll go first. Will this make everyone feel better? I'll go first. I gave way too much love to Jimmy Garoppolo, and man, for years, the way I assessed where the Farhan Zaidi era was going sucked. And I've said this already a number of times on the air. And I do believe that TBD, some Farhan Zaidi conversations are coming this fall to a radio station near you.
Maybe before the fall.
Yeah. Maybe it is the fall.
The fall before the fall.
Anyway, I think those conversations are coming. I messed that up a lot of different times, a lot of different ways. And there's a conversation to be had there about, was he as bad as people say he was? I don't even want to talk about him in the past tense yet.
He's not
gone. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's a healthy conversation to have there. But I obviously put way too much faith into how this was all going to go. I messed that up. Jimmy Garoppolo, did he turn out to be the quarterback that deserved the backing that I gave him through the years? No. Obviously, I messed that up. All right? Now, who's ready to take back their Niners suck at the draft take? Who's ready?
Give the phone number.
888-957-9570. Your take is wrong. Your take is wrong.
And I don't think that your Jimmy Garoppolo take needs to be taken back,
well,
because what he did here, he was 38-17 in the regular year. He was more than serviceable. He was a winning quarterback. He was a system guy, as they all are, but I don't think that he was as bad as you're reflecting on, and I don't think that your take is as bad as you're making it sound.
Well, that's nice of you, number one. But
I'm just being honest.
Let me specify it then. I'll specify it a little further, because Jimmy was good as the 49er quarterback. And when they moved up to draft a replacement, I didn't fight for them to keep Jimmy. But I'll tell you one time that I did. And a lot of us did. I fought hard against the idea of the Niners going to get Tom Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought that was laughable. I'm like, Brady has just had the worst year of his career. He's about to turn 40. And Jimmy just took a team to the Super Bowl, like moments ago. I laughed it off as stupid. And then, of course, Tom Brady went to a different team and won another Super Bowl.
Right.
So, L. Yeah, L. I like hanging in the closet. I'll take that. But I really don't like the concept that gets run in this town with regard to the Niners and the draft, because a lot of you are cherry pickers. That's my take. You sit there on the other end of the court, you wait for a first-round pick to not be a good football player, and you victory lap, and you dance, and you call Kyle and John idiots, and running backs in the third round. Like, I'm not telling anybody that you can't have opinions on picks even as they come in. A lot of you are big college football fans, and you may see a pick, and you may be like, what the hell are you doing? How about Jake Moody? How are you feeling right now about a pick that at the time, people were like, what are you doing picking a kicker that early in the draft? Well, you feel different when he goes out and starts a year 8-for-8 and literally had a huge hand in winning a Monday Night Football game. I don't know. I just think a lot of it is way too easy. Sit at the other end of the court and then dunk on people when they miss a pick, which is inherent in drafting in all sports, all leagues, period, no matter what. There's not a franchise that nails them all. But when the Niners are sitting here littered with great players all over the roster, many of whom are homegrown and many of whom are late, I just that's why I actually get bothered when people come down their road for the way they drafted.
You get bothered by the cherry picking in particular, like highlighting the Trey Lances and the Trey Sermons,
the Kinlaws.
Don't draft a guy named Trey. Would be my memo
to
the front office. Yep. Usually doesn't work out. But
no running backs in the third, and no one named Trey.
Exactly. And then those same people though are looking beyond all of the players that you're highlighting. Whether it's Greenlaw and Kittle in the fifth, and I'm looking at the list right now, and all the rest of Juwan Jennings and Purdy in the seventh, and all the other late rounders. You have to give credit for those if you're going to detract for the other misses. And yeah, it feels like first round misses, and when you trade away those picks, those goes down as misses. When you get Trey Lance back,
when you don't get something,
and you give up those picks, those are absolute air balls. But even through it all, like you said, you've been in the conference championship game three straight years, despite the biggest debacle in the history of this regime.
Right, and let's also not, sometimes I do think we even fall too far in the idea of, they're great in the third round or later, but they suck in the first and second round. Well, that's tough for me, because you love Nick Bosa, you love Brandon Ayuk, you love Deebo Samuel, you love a lot of the players who they've nailed in those rounds. I know that their batting average in the first round is far from perfect.
Right.
Far from perfect, I get that. But let's not act like they've never gotten anything out of those rounds.
Right, they've gotten something, but I'm looking at the roster right now, sorted by draft pick, and they have three first-round picks currently on their roster. Ricky Pearsall, Nick Bosa, and Brandon Ayuk. Those are your three first-rounders that are still here. Your second-rounders, Deebo, Aaron Banks, Drake Jackson on the pup, and Renardo Green, the jury's still out.
TBD.
So not a great haul. Your third round, it gets better. Your fourth and fifth rounds are good. Later in the draft, you do seem to get a lot more bang for your buck than you do earlier in the draft, and that's where fans who aren't watching day three of the NFL draft, you fixate on just the top of the board guys, and if they don't hit, then you can form your opinion that way.
Yeah, I remember when Juwan Jennings got picked, and it was just kind of a slow sort of burn toward productivity for Juwan. And that was a weird pick. It was kind of thought of as he's a physical guy. He's really big, but he's raw. And we're not sure kind of what's going on with him. And then he just kind of sat there for a little while and, just kind of made the team and whatever. And look here, quietly, it's a guy they've re-signed. It's a guy who now, hell, looking at what they've got going on now, this guy's a huge key piece to what they're doing. He has been, and I would argue coming up this weekend, probably more so than ever.
Right, more so than ever. He's going to be your starter. And you look at the fifth round, and I'm just looking at their fifth round picks that are still on the team, and five of them are in your starting 22, including a guy back at practice today, full participant, Talanoa
Hufanga.
Fifth rounder, Demo Lenore, fifth rounder, Colton McKivitz, love him or hate him, he's a starter, fifth rounder. Dre Greenlaw will be a starter. George Kittle's a fifth rounder. So what you've done later in the draft, I believe, should offset your failures in the earlier rounds.
Well, and if we take it beyond the draft, I do think it's an odd conversation for so many of us to sort of shoot shots at whether it's the draft or a Javon Hargrave signing or anything like that. You shoot shots at this, and then the very next breath, you're like, well, they clearly have the best roster. Well, what's their job? They've got the best roster. Their roster construction is fantastic. It's literally, absolutely restaurant quality. The way that they have been able to structure their contracts, keep themselves cap compliant, to look at them right now, I know that this is only a snapshot of it, they've got the most cap space in the league right now. And I know that's because they're trying to roll it over to help with Brock Purdy, because they don't have the most cap space in the league when you look forward into the next few years. But man, if there is a group, this is, I guess, the bottom line of what I'm saying. If there's a group in the NFL where I'm going to be like, dude, I trust you guys to construct a roster, this is my first pick. Absolutely. Chiefs, Ravens, you mentioned them. Those are the other ones.
Yep.
But that's those are the best three.
Well, and of their roster right now, they've got, I think, 32 of their own drafted players. And outside of that, it's a collection of other highly drafted players, and then a bunch of undrafted players such as Jake Brendel, Flanagan Fowles, the aforementioned Jordan Mason. Charvarius Ward was undrafted. I know.
Wow, I didn't know that.
They didn't find Mooney Ward.
No.
Kansas City did, but he was out of Hines Community College and Middle Tennessee State.
Damn.
And then he goes to Kansas. I mean,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I didn't either until I started to do the deep dive on the roster construction. But beyond their own drafted guys, they've done a good job of finding other free agents and castoffs.
What round was, you may have just said it and I missed it, what round was Lenore?
Demo was a fifth rounder, I believe.
Okay, we need to start throwing that into the conversation.
Yeah, fifth round.
We need to start throwing that in the conversation. We leave him out when we do the fifth round.
They got Jalen Moore and then Diamador Lenore both in the fifth round, and then they had Hufanga. They had three picks in the fifth in 2021, and that was their three.
Hufanga, Lenore, Kittle, and Greenlaw. All fifth round picks.
And McKivitz. Oh. He's a starting tackle.
Yeah.
Say what you want. He's a starting right tackle.
How about Rodney?
Whatever, Grandy. Don't be a hater.
What'd you say?
He just started laughing.
Yeah. He's a starter.
He's a starter.
Can't argue with that.
He's a starter. Yeah.
You guys are haters.
I wish he wasn't, but he's a starter.
Who would you rather have at right tackle?
A lot of other people. They're just not on the Niners roster.
McGlinchey?
Oh, exactly. He got put on IR today. Did you see that?
Oh, did he? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Life gets rougher for Bo Nix.
I don't think Broncos. Yeah, I don't think Denver is loving that contract. I'm not like doing PFF dives on Mike McGlinchey, but I think that worked out. The Niners being like, let's not pay that.
DeForest Buckner also on IR.
Also on IR.
And I'm not saying that worked out in the same fashion.
No, it definitely did not.
But just in terms of former Niners who are on IR. Grandy laughing at McKivitz.
And another duck. DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Fragile. Yeah. Yeah. Soft. Rodney in UC Berkeley. Hey, Rodney, what's cooking?
What's going on, gentlemen? Just listening to your statement and comments. And can you just agree with me on this one point that Brock Purdy was the 49ers' Powerball hit? Everybody missed but them.
Okay, expand a little bit. I think I know where you're going.
They won the lottery.
Well, so obviously that's true to a degree. However, I guess let me now ask a question back, Rodney. Just because he's the last pick in the draft, is it your assessment that the 49ers don't get credit for it and weren't scouting that player and didn't think highly of him? Or, like, how do you view that?
No, absolutely not saying that. I'm absolutely not saying that. What I'm saying, based on that segment earlier that you played from that guy, Niners should just trade the first, second, and third round draft picks and get 5th, 6th, and 7th. Clear it up. Get the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
Why not just do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just
no.
Do it that way.
Rodney,
I got one more question for you. And this is for everybody. How can an NBA coach get into the Hall of Fame with the most losses in NBA history and a winning percentage of 559%?
How can an NBA head coach, say it again, with a winning percentage of 559, but what was the rest of the point?
Most losses
with
of all
the
time.
Most losses in
of all time.
NBA history get into the Hall of Fame.
You're talking about Lenny Wilkins? Or Don Nelson.
Talking about Don Nelson.
Yeah, Lenny Wilkins has more losses, but I see where you're going. And thank you for the phone call.
Yeah.
And the Basketball Hall of Fame, two things about that. One, they don't differentiate between player and coach. And two, if you've ever bounced the ball in an NBA arena, you get in. They let everyone in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
No, that's not true.
The Basketball Hall of Fame is only the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
So if you're an international player,
international,
a WNBA player, a college player, whatever. So Don Nelson's career in totality is more than just his 31 years rather, as a head coach. It also includes his time in Boston as a player.
Correct.
Which is why he's in the Hall of Fame.
And by the way, like, I don't have his record in front of me, but if he has the most losses of all time, yet still has a winning percentage that is above 500, that would suggest to me that there are very many wins also.
Yeah, 1,335, second all time.
That's a lot of wins.
Second only to Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
And Greg Popovich.
The third point.
Thank you.
Very good.
Had to.
The third point is
John Sally.
There you go. Rodney, you might have called, I don't want to speak for dibs here, you might have called the wrong show if you want to be frustrated about someone being in the Hall of Fame. Because remember, dibs, when earlier today you stated now, when Deebo Samuel said we're the best team, and we've been the best team, you said, I don't really care who's the best team. I care who wins. This is my response to who's in and who's not in the Hall of Fame. Boy, I don't care. The only thing I root for in the Hall of Fame, for instance, when Joe Staley and Vernon Davis get nominated, yay, guys. You're my guys. That's my team. Hope you make the Hall of Fame. Patrick Willis, you know, yada, yada, yada. On we go. Like, that's the only way I root for it. I just have the hardest time getting hot and bothered about who does and doesn't get in to the Hall of Fame. I've never watched a speech and been mad, ever. I've never watched a speech in the Hall of Fame and been like, that guy shouldn't have got in. And I've also never lost sleep, even like you do, over Lo Neal. I know him, so I hope he gets in. But like, I just, the whole like Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers and here, oh my God, like just let him in. Who cares? Who cares? Is there anybody who's losing sleep because there's a bust of some guy halfway across the country and he got in and you think his stats were a little short? Like, sorry, I just can't get emotionally involved.
I get it. I won't say I lose sleep over it, but it's something that I am going to advocate for as a friend of his and somebody who is an admirer of his career.
You worked with him, of course.
And I am an appreciator of exactly what he did in that position, blocking for 9 consecutive 1,000-yard rushers, including guys you've never heard of. Adrian Morrell. The only time he ever rushed for 1,000 yards is when Lo Neal was a Jet. For example, Corey Dillon behind Lo Neal. Now, LaDainian Tomlinson could have rushed for 1,000 yards in his sleep.
Probably.
Regardless of who was in front of him. But just knowing what Lo Neal did for these guys over a 16-year career, I do think that it's a bit of an abomination that he's not in. And even if it's not him, there are other guys, Sam Gash and Larry Sanders and, you know, even friend of the program, Daryl Moose Johnston, who was a great fullback. And, you know, none of these guys ever get a sniff. I don't lose sleep over it, but it does make me scratch my head.
It's hard. It's one of those positions in sports. It's like middle reliever. Like, it's kind of hard to...
Good point.
It's hard for people to see. I'm with you just from the perspective that I remember, and this is well before I got to meet him or anything like that. I remember he was the best player at his position in the game for a prolonged period of time. And I think in general, when you achieve that, that's probably worth it. But that's also my perspective because I'm like, just let people in. I don't, like, great, you were awesome. Cool, now you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's my voting process.
Right.
You were super good. Cool, have a speech, get a party,
get
bring your friends
there.
Out. Here's a jacket. Like, there's just no penalty to anyone when people get in. I know you think it's watering down the process, but it's not. It's not. There's nobody in any Hall of Fame ever where you're like having a hard time going to bed at night. I hope. Like, good Lord.
Some people do.
Really?
Well, I don't know if they have trouble going to bed.
Is there anybody in that you're like, that bothers me that he's in? Pick any Hall of Fame.
You know what? Honestly, the one that bothers me the most is probably Terrell Davis from the Broncos.
Oh, okay.
He had 4 good years.
Product of the Shanahan system.
You know what he's a product of?
What?
NFL Network. If he never would have been on NFL Network, he doesn't get in. He had 4 good years, and he got a ring, maybe 2, and so he goes in because he's really good on TV and people like him. That's one that probably bothers me the most.
Well, likability's got a ton to do with all of this always. I mean, Barry Bonds would have more MVPs. He probably may well be in the Hall of Fame today if he were more likable. I love the people who are like, no, because of PEDs. You know damn well there are people in the Hall of Fame right now who have been caught with PEDs.
Mike Piazza?
Exactly. Like, come on. So, like...
There's a few others who...
Likeability's got a ton to do with it.
Of course. Of course it does. Just closing the book on this portion of it. Other Niners who are up. Delanie Walker is... He's one of the nominees. He's
probably not going to make it.
No, Ricky Waters is among the nominees.
I love Ricky.
Former Niner. And Anquan Boldin, former Niner. Not a homegrown, of course, but the full list available at NFL.com. And, you know, when you talk about this process, there are 167 nominees, and five or six will get in.
Anquan Boldin, and then we'll go back to the Debo comment and let everybody who heard this in the early part of the show hear it in the back half of the show. But Anquan Boldin will, for me, will forever be remembered as one of those. He was Puka Nacua before Puka Nacua. For those of you who haven't been around long enough to know, Anquan Boldin was a fantasy football tree shaker. One of these guys, when did he get drafted? When was he drafted? Like, what round? Oh. Yeah, Anquan Boldin's draft?
Probably like second or third round.
And, hang on. So all I remember, and this was for me, the infancy stages of playing fantasy football. And the year started, and it was either week one or week two. Second round?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Week one or week two, I can't remember which. Boldin goes for almost 200. Almost 200 yards. He was run, and this is, I think, when Kurt Warner was QB in the Arizona Cardinals. And Larry Fitzgerald was on one side. And so everyone's like, yeah, whatever. Boldin goes out and goes bananas. And he was everybody, like whoever had the waiver pickup, because no one had heard of this guy. And everyone dives in. And if you got him on waivers, congrats. I hope you spent the money well. You won. Like, and every year there's one of those guys. Every year there's someone who you're like, what? Who is this? Who is this person? Carson Steele. Did everybody do it last night?
Who are you?
Did y'all get him?
I put my claim and I didn't get him.
Did you get Captain Alligator
last
night?
Somebody ahead of me got Crocky J.
Who got him in our league, Lucas? Who got Carson Steele? Who got him? Oh?
Yeah.
It's quiet.
Yeah. I don't know, but I know I got Kareem Hunt.
Oh, you get Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's on the Chiefs. I don't
Stash.
Know if
he's actually on, he's actually on their practice squad. So he's not a Chiefs yet, but he will be.
Loading.
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'll report back.
All right.
Anquan Boldin, one of 14 receivers all time, over 1,000 catches. Four of those 14 have played for the Niners.
Anquan was a stud, man. And I mean that on and off the field. He was a great leader in the locker room, all that stuff. Okay. So here's where we started today, and we still got plenty of time at 888-957-9570 to kind of rock this question. Niner fans, how does this make you feel? We spent some good time on this, largely because Mark Grandy is our friend. He's not just our coworker, he's our friend, and we were concerned about him.
Eh.
A little bit, at least,
yeah.
Because this circulated this morning, and Grandy became very upset, verklempt, if you will. Because on his own podcast, Debo Samuel, while sitting next to Brandon Ayuk, said this: it's 23 seconds. What you're going to want to pay attention to are the final 3 seconds.
Kind of same thing, kind of like be your best self. And like, as long as you know you left it all out there and like win, lose, or draw, like, as long as you know you gave it everything, it's like you ain't got no regrets at all.
So it sounds like you guys are pretty convinced that as long as everybody shows up, there's no doubt that you guys feel like it can be your year.
Kind of like what he said, like, my eyes, like, we've been on the best team in the league for a while.
In my eyes, we've been the best team in the league for a while. So tuck that into multiple Super Bowl losses. I don't know what Debo means by a while. I don't know if he means his entire career. I don't know if he means just since Christian McCaffrey arrived, what have you. But 888-957-9570, how does that make you feel? My initial reaction to it was, it's hard to hear. The second I heard it, I'm like, oh, this is not going to land well with people. And it didn't land great with me because they haven't gotten over the top. At the same time, two extra things to say about it. One, I get why and how Debo would feel that way because he's on the team and he's a high-level athlete, and of course, you have to have that belief in yourself. But here's my bigger takeaway and maybe where we kind of challenge the way some people are thinking. Because I think a lot of you are like, you're not the best team. That's arrogant. You shouldn't say that. You haven't gotten over the top. Obviously, the Chiefs are the best team. But in the next breath, every 49er fan I know thinks they should have won. All of them. I've never met a 49er fan that does not think they should have won, which to me is the exact same thing as saying, I think they're the best team. They just didn't win. But I think most of you do think that they're the best team. You just don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it because it kind of, it brings up bad memories.
Of course, because you shouldn't say that unless you have a Super Bowl, in my opinion. You can say that, but for me, it's just, it's empty calories because you can say that you're the best team in a while. Well, what does that mean? What does a while mean? And if it means since you've been around, since 2019, okay, you can look at that and say, you have a point, even though you're fifth since 2019 in regular season wins. The Chiefs have 10 more than you, including a couple of head-to-head wins over you, not to mention two Super Bowl wins over you. Uh-huh. So if you want to talk about we've had the best team for a while, what does a while mean? Doesn't mean since Sunday, because you lost to Minnesota. Doesn't mean since last year, because you didn't win the Super Bowl. So what exactly does it mean? And if you have the best team in a while in the league, why haven't you won the Super Bowl? Who's choking then, Debo, would be the follow-up.
Well, that's the...
Who's the choker? Is it your coach who doesn't know the overtime rules?
There's that word.
Is it your right guard who doesn't know which way to block? Is it your star running back who coughed it up at the 10-yard line in the opening drive? What is it? D?
Doesn't need to be a choke. It doesn't need to be a choke.
If you're the best team in football and you've had the best team in a while, then why haven't you won?
Because they didn't execute.
That's a great question.
They didn't execute well enough.
Right. Well, the difference between not executing and choking is a fine line.
I think it's thicker than you think it is, in my opinion, at least.
I think it's more narrow than...
Choking is like, is what the Eagles did the other night, choking. I mean, even that. Like, choking is something that's more on the emotional level than the physical level, to me. Choking is like you're emotionally overwhelmed by the size of the moment. And you wilt in a big moment. You've got a free throw to win the game and you airball it. Like you
got a wide open pass in the flat to ice a game on Monday night and you don't catch it.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
that reflects it more than what I saw in the Super Bowl, where I just look at the Super Bowl and I go, you made critical errors.
Right.
Like I know that's not sexy. I know no one's going to like...
Spencer Burford goes the wrong way.
You made
a red zone play.
And you had a special teams gaffe where the ball hits your leg.
Man, again, special teams.
And Christian McCaffrey fumbles. Like, you made critical errors.
Yeah.
You made critical errors. And for some people, that equals, well, now you're not the best. And other people will go, and I lean this way... It's much more circumstantial and nuanced than that.
Sure, but like, if you are claiming that you have been the best team for a while, the best team doesn't make those, quote, critical errors at critical times. In my opinion, you can't be both. You can't be the best team and make critical errors in the Super Bowl. If you make those critical errors, and I'm not going to say that McCaffrey choked by fumbling, much like this game against the Vikings, when Cook fumbles at the 3-yard line, well, you got the ball punched out. He didn't choke. The defense made a play that provoked that fumble.
Well, that's kind of a fine line too, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's my point.
I mean, his job is to hold on to the ball while players are punching it.
Now, if they lose that game because of it, that becomes a critical error.
Yes.
And you lose because of critical error.
Yeah.
So I will withdraw the idea of a choke, but I also will double down on the fact that you can't be the best team in a while and still make critical errors at critical times.
Well, everybody, I mean, I would argue there's critical errors by both teams every single game. Patrick Mahomes made critical errors in the game. Niners didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Got an interception and then didn't go anywhere and didn't get any points, which is a critical error right back. Like you're playing tennis with critical errors.
So you can't be the best team if you don't capitalize on critical errors.
Well, but I mean, like critical errors, you know what I mean? You get to the point of like, how critical? I thought they made critical errors against the Lions. And then the Lions made critical-er errors. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. The coach.
Like, I mean, that's sports. Like, let me ask it to you this way. It does not bother me that he said this. Grandy is bothered that he said this. Does this bother you?
it bothers me more than you and less than Grandy.
Okay.
I think Grandy's closer to being, I don't know if I would say infuriated. You can speak for yourself, but it bothers me.
He's still shaking his head.
It bothers me because this is not something you say, and I don't care when it was recorded. It came out today.
Yeah.
So in my world.
Or last night, yeah.
Whatever. In my world, he said it last night.
Okay.
And he said it on the heels of a loss where your team made critical errors in a game that you don't normally lose. When you win the time of possession battle, you're 20-4 over the last 2 years. You don't lose that game.
This is why I brought up That's why I brought up Serena Williams yesterday, and some people were like, dude, why is Serena catching a stray? Not at all. Serena Williams is, gosh, she's on the list for the greatest female athletes, maybe just greatest athletes of all time, period. End of story. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. That's it. However, when you're that good and you lose, I think you lean in the direction of what you're hearing Debo do. And Serena would do it too. You don't go to the press conference afterward and go, well, give me a name of a tennis player other than Serena during her era that nobody's really big on.
Probably Justine Henin.
Okay. You do not go to
Kim Clijsters.
Let's do that one. It's easier to say. So Serena's not going to go to the press conference and be like, well, here's the thing. Kim Clijsters wholly outplayed me today. So that's what I think.
She's allowed to.
She's allowed to, but she won't because she's the best. And she's going to sit there and go, here are all the things I did wrong. Here are all the things I did wrong. I actually thought, if you want to just spotlight last week, I thought the Niners did a pretty decent job of at least giving some of the credit to the Vikings. You hear Brock Purdy go up to Brian Flores and be like, dude, your scheme's pretty sweet. That was tough. You know what I mean? Kyle Shanahan did it too. Like, the Vikings played a really good football game. You heard Greg Cosell do it with us today. Now, he's not on the Niners, but you get my point. Like, the Vikings absolutely deserve a lot of credit for this. But when you're really good, that's how it's going to sound afterward. You're going to sit there and be like, well, here's what went wrong. That's why we lost, because if things don't go wrong, we win because we're better. I mean, Debo spent an entire offseason telling the Philadelphia Eagles, we would have beat you if we had had our quarterback. He had no hesitation whatsoever doing that, because he very much felt in his belly like they would have won. And I think he thinks that less than a year later, he proved it. Now, that's flawed thinking, at least on some level, but that's how his brain works. We went back to Philly. They were good again. We had Brock Purdy. He stayed healthy. We kicked your A.
In the regular season.
Yes.
Which, and again, you're allowed to say whatever you want to say. And every time Serena would do that, and she wouldn't do that when her sister beat her, she would, you know, talk about
different.
How... Exactly. It's different because she wanted it to be different. When she loses to Garbine Muguruza...
What?
Yeah, and I'm looking at her record. When she loses to Sam Stosur, 6-2 and 6-3 on the hard court at the U.S. Open, you got your butt whipped. And it feels better to me when you have an athlete say, you know what? Wasn't my day today. She was better than me. She deserves the win. Instead of, well, I made all these errors, and I this, and I that. And it's the same thing with this.
Also...
Yes, Angry Grandy.
You're not really comparing Serena Williams, the one of the greatest champions in sport history, to the San Francisco 49ers, who have not won a championship.
Once again...
You earn something by winning all those titles.
Grandy, everything we're talking about today is simply illustrating a difference in perspective and approach by, for example, in this case, you and me. Like, you're upset at the idea of comparing those two. First of all, I never said the Niners were as great as Serena Williams, but you're upset at comparing those two because results, black and white, X, O, win, loss, end of story, go eat.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not how I do it. It's not how I look at it. And that's like, I totally get where you're coming from. And I don't mean to put those in the same sentence other than to tell you that I think that that's how great athletes think about it. And the 49ers think they're the best team. They do.
Like, Serena is undoubtedly the best female tennis player of all time, the most dominant Absolutely. Tennis player of all time.
Right. And Debo's not saying that they're the greatest team of all time.
When she loses, generally, she's right. It's because she didn't play very well.
Oh, but hold on a second.
Oh, she lost six of her last eight Grand Slam finals.
I mean, when she's at her peak.
I can corner you right now. Based on your points today, anytime Serena loses, the other player is better.
Yeah, then they deserve to be the champions. They are better.
No deserve. Take the word out of it.
Serena was on an entirely different level than almost any other championship matchup.
That's not what you've told us today. What you've told us today is when you win, you're the best. That's why I brought up the example of when Kevin Durant was with the Warriors and they came in and had a tired, sloppy night and Detroit would beat them. And that was one of their nine losses or something for the year. Are you arguing that that means that they're better?
They were the better team that night.
Exactly. Okay, fine. On that night.
So maybe Debo's saying, yeah, on that night, the Chiefs were better, but we think overall that we're the best team. I have zero issue with that.
But it's meaningless when he says that.
Fine.
Because
it can be meaningless. I just don't. Right. I don't have an issue with it.
Just like it's meaningless when Serena comes out after a loss and talks about how it was her struggles and her failures. That's not the total story. When you lose in a tennis match, the other person was better than you, or they just weren't as bad as you were.
Yeah.
If you were bad, then they were less bad.
Nobody performs the same every day. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. You do not perform the same every day.
Of course.
Right. So, like, how do you then quantify across all days and all months and all years, like, what is the best, especially if you're comparing two things that don't necessarily go head-to-head each time?
Well, ultimately, you are what your record says you are. And if there's a baseball team that's six games below 500, and you have somebody on that team come out and say, well, we're the best team in baseball, we've been for some time.
We've got the best pitching staff in the league.
Thank you, and that's a great point. And okay, that's a soundbite, and that's a comment, yeah, and that's a viewpoint, and you know what? Turns out, you're probably not right. So when Debo Samuel says, we've been the best team in football for a while, I can easily say, and Grandy would say it with more vehemence, no, you're not. If you were, you'd have a Lombardi, and we wouldn't be sitting here with a quest for six that's going on three decades.
Yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. But I'm sorry. I totally get where he's coming
from.
Don't
be sorry.
No, I totally get where he's coming from, not just in terms of a concept of like that's the way an athlete thinks, but I think it's the way we think. I think that there are things that I hear that feel like contradictions. I feel like when the 49ers are playing the Chiefs and everybody thinks they're going to win and then they don't win and everyone goes, well, they should have won, somewhere tucked into all of that, you're saying that you think the Niners are the best team.
See, I don't believe in they should have won, because if they should have won, they would have won.
Mm.
They were in a spot where That's they could have won. There is no should have won. Like,
you've never said that after watching a sporting event?
You could say it in the moment. But
Eagles, Monday night, should have won?
Probably, yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah, no,
but
they didn't.
They didn't. And you know why they didn't? Because they had a coach and a play caller that thought that he was smarter than everyone else,
yeah,
and then they called a play that was an incredible play that works 96% of the time, but guess what? It didn't work, and you gave up the rock, and you lost the game.
You know what happened? And our listeners don't know, and most probably don't care about this, but just a little quirk of the system on Monday night.
Yeah.
That Falcons drive at the end that never should have happened led to a catch by Darnell Mooney that, you know what it proved? Steiny has a better fantasy team than Mark Grandy. He's better.
He was that week.
He's better than you.
Yeah, Grandy. He was last week.
Better. No. He's just better.
Mm.
End the sentence there.
And you know what? Grandy should have won that fantasy matchup, but he didn't. And you know what that's worth? Not a damn thing. And you should have won $100 in your pick'em pool. But you didn't.
But I didn't.
Yeah, actually, right. I'm going to pull a Debo. Even though I lost last week, I still think I'm the best fantasy football manager out there.
That's a great call.
Oh, your best even manager?
Even though you're 0-2 and you lost to the Dibber.
Yeah. But you made the playoffs last year. Oh, wait, no, that was me. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body.
All right, bye-bye.
And 888-957-957 is the number. It's Willard and Dibs.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a really good question, Mark. That's a really good question, Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, fun day.
Super.
I thought we should mention this before we get out of here. Fun to get everyone's reaction on this. The last Woj bomb has been sent. That was the last Woj bomb ever. Y'all know what a Woj bomb is, right? Those of you who speak sports media know what a Woj bomb is. Adrian Wojnarowski, the top NBA reporter out there in the minds of most, certainly the top breaking news NBA reporter out there, announced that he is retiring.
He Woj bombed himself.
He did.
Self-bomb.
That's right. It was crazy that he got that story.
Exclusively.
I had Ramona Shelburne in my pool.
Shams was pissed.
But she got beat.
Shams.
Yeah.
Shams Charania.
She got beat. She made critical errors.
And, yeah, she did.
And so Woj beat her to it. And he sent out the report that he's retiring to spend more time with Stan Van Gundy's family.
That's partially incorrect, but hilarious all the while. Where he's going was like, what? And then you realize, okay. Yeah. Good for you. And I've actually thought about that because he and I are about the same age, mid-50s, and you get to that age and you start thinking about like other things you might want to do professionally and personally before it's all over. And he's got a chance to make a nice pivot to be the GM at St. Bonaventure?
Yeah.
The Bonnies?
Yeah, so I guess retirement, air quotes, like he's right. Still going to work, but yeah, he's going to be the general manager at St. Bonnie's. Maybe that allows him to be around the family more. I do think about a job like his, and I wonder sometimes if we give enough credit to this. Like, guys and gals that do stuff like that, I don't know if they sleep. Like, that phone is on. Like, think about what you got to do, the relationships you've got to build, the buttons you have to push, the way that you're able to set it up in many ways, so that you are like contact number one to all the agents, all the GMs, every team, every city. Yo, exhausting.
Right.
exhausting. And how often is that family trying to eat dinner and Adrian's looking at the phone? Yeah. Oh.
Dad, can you pass the potatoes? Hold on. Toronto's making a move to their G League team.
Dude, my family does it to me. Dad, could you like put the phone down and look me in the eye? And I always am like, oh God, I feel terrible. You know what I mean? Like kids looking at you trying to tell you something. Text comes across from Dibbers, who's mad because he got a bad beat or something on a tennis match or whatever. And I'm like, you look at the phone and they're like, Dad, I'm trying to show you what I made you at school. And you're like, damn it, phone. What's on here that really matters? But Woj, like, when your job is to beat people to the internet, you got seconds to make it right. So I've never met the man, but, you know, congrats and good on you. And,
yeah,
you know, happy trails.
And ultimately, someone will slide into that spot. And so from Woj Bombs, and I know that we had Shams or Shams Wows, as I would call them, before we realized that it's Shams, and that kind of blew the bit.
Yeah, but that was not as fun.
He used to be at ESPN.
Correct.
So there's...
And I'm told he is a free agent soon.
Gotcha.
And he is the leading candidate for ESPN to just wrap right into the position.
Also, Chris Haynes, yep. I think, yep. is a name that's been bandied about. And, yeah, somebody's going to fill that role, but forever we will lament the lack of Woj Bombs.
So the next time Steph Curry signs an extension, like, who's going to tell us about it?
Right?
Yeah. So,
how about friend of the program, Ramona Shelburne?
Sure.
Momo.
Sure. Or we could keep it local. Slates.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
You never know. But, yeah, good for Woj. You know, you get to that spot and, you know, you're in your 50s and he's done it. Right, I don't think there's anything else that he could do, and I doubt that he aspired to. I mean, there really is no higher level, right? When you're that guy, when you're the NBA insider for the worldwide leader, I don't know what other job you can matriculate up to.
No. Yeah, you hacked it. You won. You did it. You know, you mastered it. Go do something else.
Yep.
I agree with that. One other thing I saw earlier today. Correct me, guys, if I've got the number wrong. But I think the projected number for SoFi Stadium is 63% is the projected number in terms of percent of 49er fans in the building. And you know the way 49er fans sound, and you certainly know the way they look. They're draped in red. And here's what I'll promise you. 63% will look like 85. It'll look
and sound like 85. Yeah.
And so Kyle Shanahan, actually on the conference call, was even asked about what is called Levi's South.
You always want to give teams no light. When teams are back or against the wall, which both teams in that situation, both teams want to come out aggressive and hard and give neither side of the ball any light. When you do have a situation like we do when we go there and how we have so many fans show up, that's only cool if you play real well. If you play real well and can kind of control the game, then it gets real fun. If not, then it's twice as disappointing.
He went on to say, we think we've been the best team in California for years, but we clipped it. We clipped it before that. That part came out.
Looking at the resale market, according to Vivid Seats, and that ticket is the most expensive this week in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Tickets as low as $167 for that one.
That's the cheapest price?
According to the ESPN populated Vivid Seats.
Damn.
The cheapest ticket for the cheapest game is the Buccaneers hosting the Broncos. You can get in for $35.
Grandy! You go see Bo Nix. You go see him.
He has looked bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not so good. Not so good.
He's not the only one.
Did you see the video of the play call he was trying to get out to his whole offensive group the other day?
No.
It must have been like the longest play in the history of plays. Because by the time he got it out, he had to like look down at the play sheet, like four different times. By the time he got it out, they broke the huddle with like 4 seconds on the play clock.
That's poor guy.
What is Sean Payton doing?
Did you hear him in the post-game press conference when they asked him what he saw, what happened when he threw an interception?
No.
It was great.
Give me a sec. I can play it for you.
Oh, you have it. All right.
Of course he does. He's a duck.
Hold on one sec. All right, here it is.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
Chop back, threw it to the other team.
Oh,
astute.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why you love him. He thinks black and white just like you do.
Yeah.
He threw it. The other team caught it. Next question.
Yeah. Boy.
Did you hear Lucas sort of like say Bo Nix is not the only one who's playing bad? For those of you who don't speak Lucas, what that means is Caleb Williams looks awful too. Have the two of you and this running argument about which one's going to be better, has it just stopped? Like the two of you just like, you know what? Maybe we should have a different conversation.
Oh, I never believed that Bo Nix is going to be better than Caleb Williams.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Did you hear? You
so far, Michael Penix is playing better than both of them.
Drake May, too.
I'm out on that.
Thank you. You know what? I will say this, because look, it's been two games. Give these guys a breath, for God's sakes, to see if they can play in the league. But I will say this. I saw something from Caleb Williams after that game on Sunday night that is not a good sign. And I know before the draft, there were plenty of things that people were worried about with Caleb, you know, and we didn't know if they were true. Did he really ask for part ownership of the team?
Exactly.
Remember stuff like that? Here's something I saw with my own eyes, and I do not think it speaks well of Caleb. C.J. Stroud tried to pull that young man aside, and I love that C.J. was acting like a grandpa.
Right.
He's been in the league for one more year than Caleb Williams has. But CJ tried to pull him aside after the game and give him a little advice, prop him up. He's like, you're a great player. You're going to be awesome in this league. But learn your lesson. You're taking too many hits. You got to not take these hits. It's not sustainable in this league. He tried to tell him all this. And Caleb, with every bone in his body, was giving him the whole, like, I don't want to listen to you. I don't even want to be in this conversation right now. He blew him off until CJ literally pulled him to his chest and started saying it into his ear. Like, maybe he's just frustrated. It's right after a loss. But, man, that to me, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign, Lucas.
It's also a bad sign when your number one wide receiver is already showing visible frustration. Guy on my team, my fantasy team, so I'm watching him pretty closely. DJ Moore, after plays, you can already see that he's throwing the hands up and he's looking back like, dude, throw me the ball. That thing in Chicago, who could have seen this coming?
I've already seen DJ Moore's face look like that before. It was on Davante Adams' face in that whole show on Netflix this summer.
It was also last season when Justin Fields was his quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair
Not
enough.
A good sign.
And who was that other guy they had last year? They had
Tyson Badgett. Tyson Badgett.
Still there. I could not remember his name.
What?
DJ Moore.
What on earth?
Yeah.
All right, that's fun. What are you doing here in a couple minutes, Grandy?
We're going to hear Bonte and Shasky on the morning show talk about pressure rising on both Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk. Plus, you guys reacting to that crazy thing that Deebo Samuel said.
I was going to say, I knew we were going to be in there because we talked about you. So I knew you were going to make
it. Yeah, that's why I chose
to make your own show. Yeah. All right. That's Grandy. Here he comes. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Should we do it again tomorrow?
Week 3 begins, my brother.
LFG. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.